I want to welcome you this morning to our congregation Christmas program, because we include many adults too, and I want to get you a little set up for it. How many of you read the Christmas story most years? How many of you, every time you read it, see something you didn't see before? Okay, so I do. This year I was very impressed with all of the angels and how so many of the people in the Christmas story were visited by angels. How amazing was that? And so while you listen to this story, while you observe it, a lot of the scripture will be on the screen. We want you to pay attention to it. See what God is telling you this year that you maybe haven't seen before. And then at the end, we're going to have an interactive activity, so make sure you're paying attention. Okay, here we go.
Before Christmas ever happened, there were two prophets that predicted Jesus would come more than 800 years before Jesus was born. Micah and Isaiah.
I brought messages from God to God's people of anger and punishment and hope and promise. Punishment would come, but God's promises never fail. One of my messages of hope was a ruler would come from them. But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. In the end, I reminded the people in the prayer to God that he was merciful. Who is like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. He will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago.
God revealed to the Israelites his plan to deliver them over 700 years before he sent Jesus. Not only did Micah prophesy his coming, but so did Isaiah.
I brought news of judgment and salvation to Israel and the promise that God would turn their darkness to light through the promised Messiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I would later prophesize of the same Messiah taking the punishment for all our sin. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Until the sun.
would be about 700 years before this prophecy of Isaiah would come to pass. Zechariah the priest was visited by an angel of the Lord telling him that his wife would have a baby. Zechariah made the mistake of asking, "How can I be sure of this?" He would not be able to speak again until after John is born, because Zechariah cannot speak, his friends will read his story.
While I was performing my priestly duties, an angel of God appeared to me. I was terrified. The angel said to me, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Then I said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years, which, of course, now I regret." The angel said to me, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you, O stubborn one, did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time."
The people outside the temple were wondering what was taking Zechariah so long. When he came out and he could not speak, they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs of them.
Shortly after Zechariah came home from his duties at the temple, I became pregnant, just as the angel had told him. When I realized I was pregnant, I could only say, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." I spent 5 months in private and away from other people.
Zechariah would continue to not be able to speak. While in Nazareth, a young girl would be given even harder news to believe, but have a completely different reaction.
I am still confused about what recently happened to me. I was at home when an angel appeared to me. He said that I was highly favored and that the Lord was with me. Then he told me not to be afraid. It was hard to not be afraid. Then he told me I was going to have a son. I should call him Jesus. Then he told me many things about this child I would have, things I do not understand. He was to be great, son of the Most High, have a throne. His kingdom would never end. I asked how this could happen because I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. He assured me that it could happen because the Holy Spirit would come upon me. He told me my son would be called the Son of God. Then he told me my cousin Elizabeth was going to have a baby. She is old and couldn't have children, and now she is 6 months pregnant. The angel finished by saying, "No word with God will ever fail." I was amazed, confused, and all I could think to say was, "I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then I packed up and headed to see Elizabeth. If anybody would understand this, she will.
Mary left her home in Nazareth and headed to the hill country of Judea. She arrived at Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth.
When I heard Mary greet me, so many things happened at the same time. I was filled with the Spirit of God. I suddenly knew Mary was carrying my Lord. My baby leaped at that knowledge, and I spoke these words, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill the promise to her.
Elizabeth and her baby acknowledge Mary as their Lord's mother and Mary's belief that God would do what he said he would do. Mary, also filled with the Holy Spirit, sings a song of praise to God.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has loved
Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months. We assume she was there when John was born and experienced the miracle of his birth. Naming the baby became an argument, so silent Zechariah was asked.
At my son's circumcision, my wife Elizabeth was clear that the baby's name would be John, but those attending thought he should have a family name. So I was asked what his name would be. Well, since I couldn't speak, I wrote on a tablet, "His name is John." And at that moment, I could miraculously speak again. So I said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant, David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father, Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Zechariah and Mary were not the only ones an angel visited. Mary's fiance also was visited in a dream by an angel as he struggled to make a difficult decision.
I recently found out that my fiancée Mary is pregnant. I want to remain faithful to the law, but I do not want to disgrace her or expose her. I don't see how I could remain engaged to her. I will make a decision tomorrow.
As Joseph considered what he should do about his engagement and Mary's pregnancy, God sent me to speak to him in a dream. I told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because what was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. I told him the baby would be called Jesus, and that he would save his people from their sins. This would fulfill what Isaiah had written.
God sent an angel to me, they spoke to me in a dream. He answered all the questions I was struggling with. He told me to take Mary to be my wife. I did as the angel from God told me to do. He is to be Emmanuel, God with us.
Caesar Augustus made everyone return to their hometowns to be taxed. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to be taxed. He belonged to the house and the line of David. While they were there, Mary gave birth to Jesus in a stable and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in any inn. After Jesus was born, some nearby shepherds got a surprise of a lifetime.
We were watching our sheep out in the field when we saw a bright light that turned out to be an angel bringing us a message from God.
The angel said to us, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger."
Then a multitude of angels appeared. Then they praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Then they were gone. We decided to go and see if we could find the Savior in Bethlehem.
We found the Savior with Mary, his mother, and Joseph in a stable, lying in a manger.
After we had seen the Savior, we told everyone we could about the angels and the Savior and all we had seen. Everyone we told were amazed by what we said.
Mary treasured all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen.
Thank you.
Jesus was presented at the temple, and while he was there with his parents, they met two extraordinary people who had waited a long time for the Savior, Simeon and Anna.
I had been living in the temple, fasting and praying for many years. That day I saw Simeon praising God and saying that the child he held was the Savior. I came up to them and gave thanks to God and told everyone I could, who were looking forward to the Messiah, that he had come. Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth, where Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. God had brought the good news to the shepherds, but he also brought the good news to some wise men through a star.
We saw a star that told us a king, the king, had been born. We followed the star to find him and worship him.
When we got to the star, it asks about the new king. No one seems to know what we are talking about.
We ended up in King Herod's court. He had the chief priests and teachers of the law research and find that the king was to be born in Bethlehem. It had been quite a while since we had seen the star, so we would have to continue our search.
Herod met with us privately and asked us when exactly we had seen the star. He told us to come back and let him know where we found the king so he could worship him also.
While we're on our way, we set the star again. And bless the child. We bow to worship her. And gave him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
We were warned in a dream not to go back and tell Herod where the king was, so we returned home another way.
Herod's response to the wise men outwitting him was to have all children in the vicinity of Bethlehem and surrounding towns, two and under, killed. Jesus was born to save us from our sins. He was God's rescue plan for the world. Our only response should be worship and obedience to him.
Oh,
may be seated. So was that an amazing real story? It was amazing. So what we want you to do, remember I warned you ahead of time that you needed to be watching and listening for what God was saying to you. So we want you to take a couple minutes to just get together in your groups where you're sitting and share with each other. What did the Holy Spirit say to you? What did God show you that maybe you hadn't seen before, or what were you reminded of? So take a few minutes to do that.
It's a story we're so familiar with, and yet a story with so many details. Details from the Old Testament, details from the New Testament, the gospel writers sharing different details. Every detail so special, so important. And one of the things that continues to amaze me about the Christmas story is how it was foretold. Hundreds, thousands of years in advance. Prophecies that only Jesus uniquely could fulfill. It's a beautiful thing this time of year to remember the birth of Jesus. And not merely the birth, but the purpose of the birth. His birth had a shadow side, a side that would cause him and his family incredible pain and agony. And it was all because of love. Because God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, your past, nothing you could ever do could make God love you more than he already does. And nothing you could ever do could make God love you any less. It's your choice what you want to do with that love, what you want to do with the gift of Jesus, to receive or reject. But it is the greatest gift of all time. And it's my hope and my prayer that today has been an opportunity to remember the story. We'll, of course, remember it again in a different manner next Sunday. And I hope and pray that throughout these remaining days leading up to Christmas Day, that you, your family, your friends can bask in the love that God has for you. It's an amazing, unconditional love. And if you've never received it, if you've never embraced it in your own life, we're here to help guide you on your journey, to help you begin that journey, to help you take next steps in that journey. Because there's no greater gift, there's no greater love, there's no greater experience and peace, as we talked about last week, that you can have than knowing Christ. Would you please stand? as we close our time together. Jesus, you are indeed the reason for the season. And we thank you for your amazing love. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, your one and only Son, the greatest gift, the greatest act of love, of sacrifice. We love you because you first loved us. And my prayer, Lord, is that each of us would experience you in a deeper way this Christmas season. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.